Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 109. It is a beautiful Saturday morning. Got Kevin here. I got Yanis with me. How you doing, bro?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Happy Saturday.
You really wanted to get that out of your system, eh? You were like, not just good morning, but good evening.
It's good evening somewhere. It's good evening somewhere.
Listen, I'm glad you're in a little bit of a good mood because the topics we got today ain't gonna make you happy.
Yeah, I know. I wrote them.
Yeah. We're gonna talk about some Champions League. We're gonna talk about some Prem mostly. I think those are the two biggest topics right now. And obviously, Leverkusen, I think, is. We'll have to mention that as well. I mean, we can just start right now. Leverkusen, Bundesliga champions. First time in history. Undefeated as well, for the moment.
Did you see the celebrations?
They were insane. Well-deserved, too. Honestly, it's brought tears to my eyes, to be honest. The history of this club, what it means to the fans. What Xabi Alonso was able to do is honestly, like, one of the greatest football feats in history, I think.
I think it'll go down as one of the probably from a Bundesliga perspective, it's probably the greatest, probably going to be one of the greatest seasons. Mm-hmm. I think for me it's interesting because I've watched Leverkusen. Obviously, I've watched Bundesliga as a kid for a while, and Leverkusen was always one of my like top teams. Obviously, it was like Bayern, Dem, Schalke, and Dortmund mm-hmm. came up after, but then. To see them lose year after year after year was always kind of demoralizing because I thought they were always getting close, but you knew Bayern was gonna end the title at the end of the day, and for them to actually win it now at 40 they and in the first time in their history too, which is crazy to think about. It's rare that we see club like have a first.
Yeah.
Like I can only remember maybe Leicester. But outside of that, like I can't remember a team. Well, maybe Toronto FC when they won their first MLS Cup. But like we haven't seen a lot of first trophy for a team in a while. And whenever it happens, it feels special. Like mm-hmm. the celebrations are a little like it's way more intense, and it's different. It just feels different.
It's honestly, it's magical. This is why we love the game. It's the passion. It's. You know, the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into doing this. Like, I just hope, honestly, like, there's 5 games left in the season, I think.
Five
for them. I think now the most important, obviously, I feel like is going to be finishing the season undefeated, because that would be even just, like, the cherry on top of all of this. Crazy that we're still talking about this, too. But, I mean, we've talked about Leverkusen a lot in the last couple podcasts, like, we don't have to go through everything again, but it's just honestly, give your congratulations. Like Xabi Alonso staying another year or two, the youth that team has developed and really sharpened, it's just extremely impressive. And honestly, I couldn't be happier for them.
I think it's interesting too, because I don't see many players actually leaving. I know, especially with Alonso staying, mm-hmm. Guys like Wirtz are probably going to stay. I think, I'm assuming Boniface, Patrick Schick, Amin Adli, Kosunu, so players like that, like they probably won't leave. I think the only guy that might leave is Frimpong because he has a pretty the release clause that he has is pretty affordable, and I could see a Prem team trying to go for him if he actually wants to go, but maybe this is the start of a dynasty. Who knows? Maybe they want it again next year. Maybe it won't be like an undefeated season, but. What if this is the start of like something big for them? Like, what if they can get another trophy next year?
Seriously, I think they could even win the Europa this year. Like, do you want to? Should we? Translate into that a little bit. Like, because they were. I mean, Europa has definitely been more of a tough, I guess, matchup than they expected. I think. I mean, they almost lost in round one to Karabag.
Karabag, yeah.
Yeah, that was honestly, you would not have expected it to go that way. And then to West Ham, it was kind of, it felt a little close at some point in the second match. Because Because West Ham scored early, right? So you're like, oh, shit, right. It's only 2-1. But then it kind of settled in and took care of business with the late equalizer. But now they play Roma, and I feel like I'm going to take Leverkusen. And then between them, Atalanta and Marseille, I'll take Leverkusen.
I mean, as long as Marseille makes the final, which I will be very happy about, obviously, you know my biases.
Yes, I know.
And I think that Leverkusen should win.
Honestly, I think out of the four remaining teams, I think they're the best team. I think I'd probably lean towards Atalanta second.
Yeah, but I think Roma could be... Watch out for Roma, because I think they've played Roma last year, and Roma did beat them. So they have a lot of... There's history there.
Were you surprised when Roma beat Milan?
I'm not surprised, especially considering how the first game went.
Mm-hmm.
This Milan with Daniele De Rossi is a new look Roma, and they're actually like Daniele De Rossi has done a very good job, especially coming after Mourinho. He's basically transformed the team, and it's essentially the same players. That's what's just interesting. He didn't really make any adjustments personnel wise, but just tactically, there's a bit of a shift in the mindset, and you could say you could tell that by the results. So. Credit to him, especially coming like in season, like they were struggling for them to actually make a Europa League semis. Like, regardless of what the result happens after that, like he cemented himself into Roma's coach as a Roma coach for a while, I think.
Honestly, yeah, good on him, to be honest, because I mean, you look at this team, and obviously it's not a star-studded cast, but they have like a quality, like a pretty noticeable quality of players, right? Like they have some stars. That front three is you would take them like it's a lot of other front threes like El Shaarawy, Lukaku, Dybala. They play like a 4-4-5-1 type of formation too, but they have some quality.
Yeah, it's definitely a better team than people expected. Like when you look,
I would have picked Milan though, obviously, but
yeah, I mean, honestly, I picked Milan before the tie, but. Milan's just disappointing in the first leg, and then the second leg, Roma was just a better team. I feel like Milan is sort of focusing more on the league, but that's not even an excuse at this point because you should be focusing on every game.
The league is over.
Yeah, when I say league, I mean like qualifying for Champions League.
Okay, I mean they're pretty much cemented in second place, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, credit to Roma for going through. But I'm more happy about Marseille. I think Marseille Atalanta is going to be an interesting tie as well. Like those are two good matchups. Like we'll talk about Champions League after, but even the Europa League this is a pretty interesting matchup.
I mean Marseille on pens it was a close one.
Yeah, the pen one is interesting. Marseille is a cup. It's a cup team. Like they're not a league team. If you see the form in the league, it's sort of very inconsistent. But when it comes to a cup game, especially Europa League, with an informed Aubameyang, you can do. It could be. It could go either way, but it's usually go the right way. I'm happy that they made it through because it was gonna be a strike. If they didn't make it through, it was going to be a really difficult season to justify.
Yep.
But now, I mean, even now, Atalanta too, like, this is a good matchup for Atalanta, I think. Because I think Atalanta is probably one of the most underrated teams, even though
they always have that firepower, but they kind of, like, lack defensive stability. But against Liverpool, I mean, you want to talk about that a little bit? Because that was...
First
honestly,
leg.
Quite surprising. The first game really, really set the whole matchup already, because I mean they're up 3-0, then they can play a specific style of football that is, you know, yeah, they conceded, they didn't score any goals, but they didn't need to, right? So they played to what they needed to do and ended up winning. Like, and Liverpool has themselves been in kind of like a rough patch of form, I think, for various reasons. I mean, they have some injuries, but they're getting healthier right now. But then you have guys like Darwin missing like so many chances. Salah is not as clinical as he was earlier in the season. I feel like a lot of people are kind of a little bit frustrated with that. Now letting the league slip away a little bit, I think Liverpool is kind of like in their own heads a little bit. The Klopp farewell tour is not going as expected, but not to take away anything from Atalanta, like they're a strong team.
They're better than the people give him credit for. But it is true that Liverpool's form kind of dipping at that time is an interesting timing too. And we'll talk about it later, but what are your expectations for when it comes to the semis? Who do you see going to the final?
I see Atalanta Leverkusen.
Atalanta Leverkusen?
Mm-hmm.
I am going to say Marseille Leverkusen.
Is this because you're a Marseille fan, or you genuinely think they'll win?
Bit of both.
A bit of both.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I mean, I saw the Atalanta games and I was like, it's gonna be hard to beat that, but it's Marseille, so there's a chance. Like I said, they're a cup team, they could step up, especially if the second leg isn't available home. And that will be fireworks. If they can somewhat handle the first leg in Atalanta, I think that they gave the first leg is in Atalanta. But hopefully they can handle that and manage the second game. Marseille Leverkusen for me.
Okay, it'll be interesting to see. Let's talk about some Champions League, because that was the big news. A final four of Madrid, Bayern Munich, PSG, and Borussia Dortmund. I don't think anybody could have predicted this before the season. I think a lot of these teams that we just mentioned were having not so good seasons, and people didn't have high expectations for. Like Bayern Munich, this year, one of the weakest Bayern teams we've seen in recent memory. Dortmund are not even top five in their own league. How are they in the Champions League?
Yeah, that's the funny one.
I mean, PSG, we know it's PSG, but we know that this is not the Neymar, Mbappe, Messi that we've seen in recent past. You would think that they'd be not as strong, but I think the only thing that we expected here was Madrid and PSG maybe, but
I think Madrid most likely. I had a feeling that PSG could make it based on how the depending on how the matchup was would kind of take shape. And the surprise to me is obviously Dortmund. How are they here? Yeah, especially. I mean, Atletico Madrid did well in the first leg, but they completely collapsed in the second. And I think Dortmund obviously the home advantage factor as well kind of plays into it. But still, I expected Atletico to go through. For them not to go through is kind of disappointing, especially from a Simeone standpoint. But kudos to Dortmund for exceeding expectations. Now, obviously, they're getting PSG, and it's a team that they've played before. Obviously, they were in the same group. So the matchup is interesting because they know how to play against them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they lost once and drew the second. So we'll see what happens this time. But, I mean, I am expecting PSG to win. But, yeah, you can't sleep on Dortmund anymore.
No. I think they'll be very proud of themselves of how they made it this far. I want to let you know, though, I think I mentioned in the past, I had a big parlay bet with the Champions League on it.
Right.
I had Man City winning the Champions League, which honestly was kind of like also an emotional hedge. But I thought realistically Madrid-Man City should have been the final that we had. So the fact that they met up in the quarters is really honestly kind of like bad luck with how the seeding went and everything, because that was worthy of a final. I think those were realistically the two best teams in the tournament. I think Madrid is going to be very happy that they don't have to face Man City in the next two rounds if they make it that far. Madrid is just the Champions League juggernaut. They always find a way. Because I think Man City really had them on their heels in that game, if we want to really dissect that one a little bit. It's just Madrid always finds a way. They know how to play. And did you listen to Bellingham's post-game press conference or like interview?
I think I sent it to you.
Yeah.
It was very mature. Like, it doesn't seem like the guy's 20. What is he, 21? It doesn't feel like that. It feels like he's already a captain. Like, he speaks like a captain.
Yeah, he's 20.
It's scary. But going into the game, I think City was just a better team, especially in the second leg. And they weren't able to to give them the final blow, if that makes any sense. They weren't able to finish Madrid when they had him on their ropes.
Actually, I think Haaland missed a few chances.
That's the thing. Like, Haaland is going to be criticized a lot because of how he's played in those two games. Because he really wasn't the most effective. Mm-hmm. And you can talk about his form and stuff, because he has been struggling lately. I think people are kind of questioning his technical ability, just because obviously he plays for City and he doesn't want to be known as a tap-in merchant. But it seems like people are putting that label on him, which I think is harsh. He still has at a 20-plus goal season. It's just that in the big games, he didn't really show up. He didn't really step up. And I think there's a part where you could argue that when he's not playing with De Bruyne, it's kind of harder for him.
Mm-hmm.
De Bruyne was there this time, and he still didn't really perform, or he didn't really get any chances. I think Madrid was kind of obviously knowing, Madrid was knew that he was going to be an issue, and they kind of targeted him when it comes to like his hold up play and whatever. Yeah. But I think he has a lot of things to improve as well on his own. Like my guess is he knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that, like, the column, like I said, I mean, the comments that the League Two striker comments from Roy Keane was a bit harsh.
League Two isn't that bad.
I did see his explanation.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm like, okay, when he explains it, it makes more sense. But still, he could have said championship.
He could have said championship.
He didn't have to go.
League Two is definitely harsh, but.
Yeah, League Two is definitely harsh.
I think
one.
I think what differentiates him and other top strikers is that I feel like other top strikers have a stronger ability to create chances for themselves or put themselves in better positions. But also, I don't want to take away from the fact that maybe like he's doing exactly what Pep wants. When Pep got Haaland, he wanted to change the whole dynamic of the team to Haaland. Because don't forget, before Haaland, City did not play with a striker. They played with a false nine, and it was a much different kind of system they had going on. But they knew that if they changed their team towards a team that was more shifted towards getting the best out of Haaland, it would raise their play to a higher level. And I think it has. Obviously, they won the treble last year. But I think then you kind of limit yourselves to what Haaland can do exceptionally well, and then what he can do exceptionally well, you're going to struggle at. And the fact that his hold-up play, his chance creation on his own is very limited. You have to rely on the whole other team to kind of do that. And when they get shut down, then it's tough.
Yeah. Like I said, he's got a lot of work to do. To improve, I think he's got a lot of things to improve. I think, well, Haaland is the type of striker that he doesn't create his own chances,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, he's exactly. very different from Lewandowski, Harry Kane. Like, he's not the same type of striker. And I think the way that he plays in City, whenever De Bruyne is not, like I told you last time, like, whenever De Bruyne is not there, I think Haaland struggles. And especially more than with Foden, because Foden is not the type of guy that will pass through. He's more of a dribbler, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Runner's a pass first type of guy. If you make the run, he'll find you, and that's how he scored. I think if you looked at his stats, and I haven't, but I figured that his like main assist provider is De Bruyne by far. That would be like a lucky. That would be kind of a genuine guess, but
maybe yeah, not just because happened. Of how much time De Bruyne has missed, but in general, I feel like. Probably yes.
Yeah, exactly. The time that De Bruyne has missed has been the time that Haaland has struggled the most. Mm-hmm. So it kind of coincides. But it's gonna be an issue for next season that he's gonna have to respond to and like resolve, because obviously the season, regardless of what happens this season, people are gonna have questions about his overall play like going into next season. So I'm hoping that he steps up for that in the future. But Yeah, he's got a he. I mean, he didn't really do a lot in those two games. Like, he was really. I'm not gonna say he was a non-factor, but he wasn't as effective.
No.
But I thought Alvarez came in the game and had better moments, I would argue.
Yeah. I mean, do you think now this? I mean, first of all, let me ask you: who's your favorite for the Champions League now? It's gotta be Madrid, right?
Madrid.
To let you know, I put a bet on PSG to win the Champions League. I think that's the final we get. I think the final we get is PSG and Madrid.
Wait, you made another bet?
I made another bet. I made a huge bet. I think I put $20 to win like $500,000.
$500,000 and you put PSG in the final?
Yeah. I put PSG winning it.
Okay, PSG winning it.
Winning that's the whole tournament.
That's a great outcome.
But I mean, it's not only that. It's not $20 for $500,000 only for that. But I can tell you, I put. Okay, this is what I got. Well, we won't spend too much time on this, but. Okay, I got. Where is it? Where's my? Hello. Why is it not? Where is it? Is this it? Oh yeah, this is it. Okay, I put $10 to win $600K. I got Inter winning the Serie A.
Okay.
I got Man City winning the Prem. I got Madrid winning La Liga.
Mm-hmm.
I got PSG winning the Champions League. I got the New York Rangers winning the Stanley Cup.
That's not impossible.
I got the Dallas Mavericks winning the NBA Championship.
That's, I don't know about that one.
They were the third favorite.
Yeah.
I got England winning the Euro.
Okay.
I got Max Verstappen winning the Formula One Drivers' Championship, which is very, very likely to happen.
Very likely.
And then I got the San Francisco 49ers winning the Super Bowl next year. And I got the LA Dodgers winning the World Series this year.
Oh, you really went to the next Super Bowl.
Yeah, I went to the next Super Bowl. But listen, if everything else is decided before the next Super Bowl, then I'll just cash out.
Yeah, please do, because we don't know what's gonna. Nah, like we don't know what the next Super Bowl is gonna look like at all. There's no like the Niners next, suck this season.
Yeah, they won't suck, but the most immediate outcome is gonna be PSG winning the Champions League, because I think that's the first thing that will be settled.
So hypothetically speaking, if you win all those bets, you make how much?
$600,000.
All right. Well, that's.
It's not gonna happen, guys. It's not gonna happen.
Hey, but hey, never say never, Kev.
But
never
I can dream. Never. I can dream.
You can dream.
Okay, let's get back on Champions League talk. Finish up there. What did you think about PSG Barca? Because I think Barca got screwed.
Did you think it was the right card for Araujo?
It was tough. I think it was. I think he went down so easily, but fair play to him. He knew what was gonna happen. I think Araujo was playing a dangerous game, putting his arm there. I think the other guy fell soft though. I think he knew he had the opportunity to do it, and he did it. It was outside the box. I don't like the argument for was he the last defender. I forget who was on the opposite side that was like also maybe kind of parallel.
Honestly,
yeah, it was close. Did you think it was a red? I think it was a foul for sure.
I would lean
more red than not red, but it's just honestly, it's just I feel like it was just bad luck because, I mean, they were gonna beat PSG. It was like almost certain. It was 4-2 at that point. They were dominating the game. That play happened, and the whole it's PSG play needing to score a couple goals with only 10 men for Barca. It's a completely different ballgame.
Did you see the comments from Gundogan after the game?
No, I didn't.
So he essentially kind of talked about how they had the game in hand, and then they kind of let it slip with decision making, like the red card from Araujo, the PK from Cancelo was a very obvious. Like, I don't know what Cancelo was thinking there. There's no doubt of a penalty on Dembele on that. But specifically for the red card, he talked about how maybe at this time in the game, it's a terrible, like, taking a red card at this time of the game is horrible because you still have like 80 plus minutes to play at the most, and you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot. Like, it would have been much smarter for him to maybe not necessarily foul him, but give your goalkeeper a chance to make a save on that, right? Like, there's no guarantee that he scores. Like, there's no guarantee that Barcola actually puts it on frame and scores.
Yeah.
I think and obviously he didn't mention Araujo, but we knew who he was talking about. I actually think that created some beef between those two now, because apparently Araujo doesn't want to comment on it anymore. But I do agree with Gundogan that doing that type of tackle at that moment in the game, with the stakes so high and there's so much time to still play, there's so much game time to play, was a bad decision from Araujo. Because You kind of forced the red card in a way, because that could have been avoided. You could have sort of not.
It's tough in the moment, right? Because I think he doesn't. I think he doesn't think that the. I mean, he. If I was him, I would probably expect I was either the last man or his partner is going to be somewhat close by. But I think more so the case is that I don't think he expected the pressure he put on player to drive him to the ground.
That's the risk you run, though.
I know, but he was that's the gamble he took, and obviously it did not pay off.
Yeah, it's a gamble he took, and he lost because the thing is, he took the gamble. My issue, I think, that's where I agree with Gundogan, is that you do that. The record was around, what, the 15 minute, I think? Something around that?
Yeah.
Like, you're essentially saying that you want to play against... The risk that you put, if the red is shown, to play...
It was at the 30th minute.
30th minute?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's still so much time to play. That's why I don't... Sometimes when I see, like, a red card in the first half, I'm like... Especially if it's a red card that could have been avoided, which I think this one could have been avoided from Araujo. It's like, you gotta think, especially when you're, and they were winning.
Yep. By two goals.
Like, the game management was poor at that point.
I feel bad, because I think Barca was a better team, and I think they deserved to win. It was just one red card changed the whole... Made the whole, basically changed the whole decision. They definitely did, but yeah, tough call.
Not even just the red card. The PK from Cancelo was silly. Like, he has no reason to challenge. Dembele is not going towards goal. He has his back turned. He's not even looking at going at goal, and he just does that. Like, it was such a rash decision from him. At the same time, too, though, like, give credit to PSG as well. I think they came into Barcelona with a game plan that didn't necessarily go to plan. But when the red card happens, it just, like, it was an opportunity they took it. Like, Mbappe was going off. Then I think Dembele had a great tie, especially the first game. I want to say he carried PSG for the most of the first game, and even the second game, like, he did his thing too. And I know he was very motivated for this tie, obviously playing against Barcelona, his former team, and even now going against Dortmund, another former team is his. You know, he's going to be extra motivated for that. But
he was getting booed, I'm pretty sure, right, when he got subbed off.
He was booed when he came off. This is big for PSG because Dortmund is a game that people are expecting you to win.
Yep, I think they absolutely have to.
They absolutely have to win.
Dortmund should not even be close to this deep in the tournament.
Yeah, it shouldn't. It's the best possible matchup for PSG, but they gotta find a way to win this. They cannot fumble this, because they're not gonna get any better opportunity in the future. We don't know, at least.
The path is wide open for them.
Yes.
This is the best opportunity they have had for the Champions League title, I think, since they've become a champion contender.
Since the COVID Champions League.
Well, even when they made the final, I think this is probably going to be a better opportunity. Because if we're already assuming they're in the final, let's say they beat Dortmund, get to play either a Madrid team that honestly is very strong, but what if they play Bayern Munich, who's a weak Bayern Munich team? Weaker Bayern Munich team.
It's a Bayern is, I mean, Champions League Bayern is different than Bundesliga Bayern, but this would be the repeat of the final that they lost the first time.
Yeah.
So it's not impossible that I think they would. I think they won Bayern more than they won Madrid, if I'm being honest. I mean,
most definitely, who wouldn't?
Because if it's Madrid in the final, I mean, even especially, I mean, we don't really like Mbappe. The Mbappe links is fine. It is what it is. Like he's gonna leave. We know that. But I don't think PSG.
Mbappe going out with a Champions League title, a league title.
That's the perfect scenario.
Who won the league tournament in the league? Or who's in the? Is it? Are they still in it?
They're still in the league. They're in the league. They're gonna. They should win it.
No, not the league like the FA Cup or Ligue 1.
Oh, the league, the league cup for the I don't. They're not in it. I think they already lost. I don't remember what the final is. Now that I think about it, I haven't looked. It's like random teams, honestly. It's not. Yeah, PSG bounced a while ago. Actually, no, never mind. They're in the semis. They're playing Lyon.
So they can win that too.
The Coupe de France? They can win that too. Yeah, Coupe de France, exactly.
No, they're in the final, dude.
They beat Rennes in the semis.
Yeah, they're in the final against Lyon.
Yeah, they're just, yeah.
It's wild. They could get a treble this year.
I mean, yeah, that's actually funny that I think about it.
It's crazy. Nobody's talking about it because I think everybody was on Man City treble watch. But PSG is also could get the treble. I think only Madrid is not in the Copa del Rey anymore, right?
Yeah, Madrid, yeah. Atletico Bilbao won the Copa del Rey.
Yeah, so not for them, but PSG treble would be nuts. After a Man City treble, have we ever seen teams win back-to-back, like trebles in back-to-back years? Has that ever happened?
I don't think so, no. Because you have to, because you lose a trophy because of the Champions League is now, yeah. You know, there's no. We've never done a back-to-back treble from two different teams.
That's crazy. We could be.
As much as I want Madrid to win it, on the side, I'm kind of rooting for PSG to go all the way.
The thing is, I think everybody has kind of like. I want to say like, okay, hear me out. I feel like people they like PSG when they were first on the come up, because. It was fun, but then they became unlikable because it was to the extreme of just buying all the best players and trying to make it work. But I think now that I feel like their kind of style or vibe about them has changed, they've went more with the, okay, let's try to build something here. I think they've become a little bit more likable because also they've been less good. So I think now people will be rooting for them a little bit more than in past years. When it's kind of been like, okay, you guys spent the most money. You guys are going to make the Champions League final. Like, okay, you have Messi, Neymar, and Mbappe. Like, okay, congratulations, guys, you know?
I definitely feel like the sentiment on PSG stand is still the same regarding them being a big money spending club.
I mean, and definitely. But I think... the vibe is a little bit different when you don't have the Messi, Neymar, Mbappe. You have other Mbappe, like more raw league talents that are French, you know.
Yeah, and that was supposed to be the new identity of PSG, is like more French, younger, like more French, more Parisian, if you want to put it that way. Mm-hmm. The talent is they have the talent homegrown, but they never essentially like kind of went and got the talent. They got Barcola this season. I think they're trying to get a Ligue 1 defender next year. I think Lenny Euro from Lille. It's between them and Madrid for who will get him. But also they've done a good job of scouting because Vitinha. I didn't see Vitinha on the radar when he was at Porto. I mean, I didn't watch a lot of Porto games, but I thought Vitinha was excellent in those two legs as well. And he's been like we talked about Mbappe and Dembele, but if we want to talk about the third like best player, it's probably him.
Yep.
He's been very impressive and very dominant in those two games. And he's been kind of in that form since the season started, really.
Yep, I agree.
But, like I said, PSG Madrid is my final. After that, yeah, whatever happens.
Who are you going?
It's tough.
Madrid is going to be the heavy favorite.
Madrid is going to be the heavy favorite, but I want to see Mbappe leaves on a good note. I want to see him leave.
Mbappe wins the treble against Madrid and then goes to Madrid.
Yeah.
And then wins the treble with Madrid.
That's kind of like a dream scenario. But honestly, it's hard to root against Madrid.
They have the perfect balance of young world class talent with veteran world class talent. And Bellingham said it perfectly. Like Ancelotti just lets them play, lets them have the freedom to do what they want, as long as they abide by certain rules. And it just makes them always have a way. They always find a way. They have so much creativity. They have good players that they can bring on when needed. They honestly have built like the ultimate champions. I think that's what you can call them. They just find a way. They know how to win.
It's
in their DNA.
You know what? This is the Madrid DNA for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to go Madrid.
You're like, imagine after all that, you're like, I think I'm going to choose PSG.
Yeah. Like the arguments towards PSG versus the argument towards Madrid are so... It's different. It's just different. I definitely do think Madrid has that. It's going to be... But honestly, as long as PSG makes the final, it's good. They don't really... Yep. I mean, they obviously they want to win it, and they should win it if they can. But making the final is enough, I feel like.
I think it'll be a huge success for them.
Yeah. But, I mean, if they're going to lose, they have to perform. They can't just be, like, outplayed. We'll see what happens.
I agree. What I was going to say, though, is the only... And we'll have to probably wrap up soon. But the only thing I can see for potentially for what gives PSG a chance is I do feel like Madrid can sometimes play on fine margins. I feel like sometimes they do just enough, you know, where sometimes that makes it become a gamble, and they're so good at winning the gambles, but it's a gamble nonetheless. And if they lose a 50-50 gamble at one point, then obviously in the final it'll be devastating.
You're speaking like a true grand gambling man.
I'm no gambler.
It is true that Madrid doesn't like when you look at Madrid's results, you don't see a lot of like blowouts. It's never been like 5-0, 6-0, 3-0. It's really just 2-0s, 2-1, 1-0, maybe 3-1 at the most. Like, they don't blow out teams. They just find a way to win the game. And they have to... I don't know how they're going to win the PSG game if that happens. But they better... They have to put two. They're not going to win the game with just a 1-0. I mean, it's a final. Never anything could happen. And that's the thing, too. Final are kind of not pretty. So it could really just be in a 1-0 type of final. But yeah, like you said, they can't take too many gambles in that game. And I think they've been very great at gambling. I mean, if we're going with your gambling analogy, they've been very good at managing their gambles because it's been working. I can't remember. I still remember the Liverpool final. That was 1-0, but they've managed it to the T, really. Like, when it comes to game management as well, they're probably the best team out there. Because they find a way to win regardless.
What do you we'll end on this though. Let's change a little bit of pace to the Prem. A lot of the top three teams dropping points right now. Arsenal drop points, Liverpool drop points. Pretty devastating in the grand scheme of things. Because Man City alone at the top, they just got eliminated from the Champions League. They're going to be focusing on the league solely.
And the FA Cup.
And the FA Cup, which is happening today against Chelsea. But I think the league is going to be the most important for them, right? Like Erling Haaland's not even on the bench today. Which I don't know if it's a serious injury or not, because I think he has to get subbed off against the Madrid game. Is this basically Man City winning the league, or is there any chance that they don't?
I think the odds. It's funny now that like they're taking the lead. Everybody thinks it's over. Like when they were second or third, like it was never. It's a question of they'll catch up. Now that they're dead, now that they caught up, it's over. Like people already have called the race, which is interesting to see. But I think the Spurs game could be interesting. The Spurs game is probably their only hope of like taking a losing point. At least this is the only game where I could see them dropping points.
If Spurs win that game, it's huge. Huge, huge, huge.
It's huge.
Arsenal and Liverpool are going to become Spurs fans.
Yeah. Kind of am to an extent, I'm not going to lie. But that's the only game that I could see them fumble. And even that's a stretch. Like they could still go. Because I don't think they've ever beat Spurs at New Spurs Stadium so far. So going by the history, you could kind of call it on towards Spurs, but City in the form that they are, knowing that there's not that many much games left, they rarely kind of like drop the ball and like fumble the title. I think they will find a way, but that's the only game that I could see being interesting.
That's do you think we get a surprise? A surprise drop points.
It's not impossible.
Who do you? Brighton, Forest, Wolves, Fulham, Spurs, West Ham. It's tough to imagine any of those teams besides Spurs taking points off of City, but anything.
Brighton, West Ham.
Anything is possible. I just think when Man City have 100% focus on one task with a certain result in mind, it's like almost impossible for them to not achieve that, especially against teams of obviously lesser quality. Like if the whole season is on the line and they're playing like a Madrid or a Bayern Munich, obviously that's a different question. But like your whole season is on the line and you're playing Brighton and you don't get a result, I feel like it's just impossible to imagine with how stacked they are.
It is hard to believe. I don't really believe it, to be honest with you. And like looking at the other fixtures, like Forest is not going to be an issue. Wolves is not going to be an issue. Fulham's not going to be an issue. It's really just the Spurs game that could go south for them. And that's a stretch. I think the Spurs game could be. The Spurs game is essentially what. If they win that, they win the title. They have to win every game, obviously, but I think those two, that Spurs game specifically, if they can get that one, then that kind of guarantees it to me.
Yep.
That's coming soon.
It's coming soon, man. It's going to be exciting to watch. Do you think you guys are playing Wolves today? If the only thing that I would hate to see is Liverpool and Arsenal drop points again, and then Man City end up dropping points too, and it kind of means nothing because the teams behind them kind of fell off.
Yeah. I think we just lost a step. We Honestly, like I looked at
we didn't even talk about Arsenal Bayern. Okay, you go on a rant right now. Tell me what happened, because not even a goal in the second in the second leg, that's going out like that. That's tough.
I think it was. I mean, I don't even know how to describe it, man. It was frustrating to watch, to hear, because I didn't really watch the game. I just saw the highlights afterwards. But I just think like we didn't try or we didn't do enough. Like, I wonder if we could have brought like maybe a Smith Rowe to like kind of give a different look. It feels like we didn't even try. It feels like we didn't try. It feels like we kind of gave up early as well, especially when Bayern scored. That the game was pretty much over. It was disappointing. It was disappointing, and you can kind of it kind of showed as well that there's levels that we still have to reach to get to that point where we can see ourselves as a contender. Like Bayern has the experience, and obviously they have players that have done it before. Arsenal doesn't have that, and it was very telling by how like even Harry Kane like never won it, but at least he made a final, and like you could tell he's a class above. The whole Bayern team was a bit different than what we saw.
Imagine Bayern winning the Champions League. Surprising. Would you be more shocked if Bayern win the Champions League or if PSG win the Champions League?
Honestly, I've seen Bayern win it before, so I wouldn't be shocked. But based on the
what if we get a Bayern PSG final? Who are you going to be taking? It's not impossible.
And I would take PSG.
They just have more firepower, you think?
Not just that, but also like because PSG lost to them in the first final, it's kind of like a redemption story. Kind of like how I don't know what was the final, like the way that. Actually, not that one. Never mind.
Imagine. But yeah. Oh wait, you know what's an even better story? Okay, we'll end on this. Sorry, I keep saying that.
Bayern Dortmund. No way.
Yes, Bayern Dortmund and the Dortmund win.
No way. No way, bro.
Revenge for
2013?
2013 when Dortmund had probably the best team in their history?
Yeah. Nah, bro, that'd be the worst final.
You think it would be the worst final? Just because of the quality
of
play?
It'd be great for Sancho.
It'd be great for Sancho. Honestly, I kind of don't. I would love it if they won without him starting.
He's gonna play. He's playing now. He's playing well, too. He's playing well. I don't see Bayern Dortmund. That's like the worst possible final. That is not the good final. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Okay, the best final that I think everybody wants to see is PSG Madrid. The final that probably the least people want to see is I think the final that the least people want to see is probably Dortmund Madrid. Because I feel like Madrid would just like destroy them.
Yeah.
At least Dortmund Bayern, there's some storylines to it, you know.
There's this Bundesliga, but there's also an expected result.
Yeah, but I mean Lewandowski against Madrid in that 2013 race to make the final.
Oh right, yeah.
Didn't he score five goals?
4 minutes was it?
Yeah.
That was a good.
We're far away from that.
That was Pete Dortmund. That was in Dortmund. Was like everybody's favorite team.
Bro, that was over 10 years ago. I just put the pieces together. That's wild.
11 years.
I was like, that was 7 years ago. I know, but that's what I'm saying. Over 10 years ago, like, yeah. Man, I still remember that, and crazy that was over a decade ago.
Ronaldo was still in Madrid at that point. It was wild. Ozil was playing in Madrid at that time. It was a long time ago. That was the greatest Dortmund team ever, I think. At least that we've seen of. But yeah, what was I saying? I was talking about Arsenal. I think the past few weeks, I'll say this kind of to summarize it. The past few weeks has told me that I'm very grateful. We've done a lot of progress, and that's like unquestionable. I think we're now a contender. We're a contender in the league. And we're a constant contender in the Champions League. We'll be in the Champions League for years and years to come. Mm-hmm. But there's a level that we still need to reach that we haven't reached yet. And I think that is going to come with a lot of different personnel. There's some personnel that has to be let go for us to reach the next level.
Like,
and it's going to be interesting to see what addition Arteta does in the summer. Because I heard that he's supposed to get a pretty big check for the transfers. And I hope that, obviously, don't use it in the Chelsea way, but like, use it smartly in a way, right? Like, find the right players. Like, and he's done that in the past. I think most of the transfers that he has have been hits. Not many misses. But
who do you think you have to let go to reach that next level?
I think players like Nketiah, for example, needs to be let go.
I mean, he's not really an impact player for you right now.
Yeah, I just think he needs more playing time elsewhere. Smith Rowe needs playing time elsewhere. I think Partey can be moved on as well, especially now that we know that Declan Rice is the guy, and he's probably been our best player this season. I'd be fine if Partey leaves.
I mean, you're mentioning these guys, but I feel like these guys aren't really like contributors for your team right now. You know,
they're not contributing, but they're still like squad players.
You'd just rather replace them with better squad players, is what you're saying?
Yeah, because I think the depth was very much questioned in that Bayern and Aston Villa game.
You think
it looked like some of the players were tired?
Hmm.
I think there's got to be a lot of questions. As much as I love Gabriel Jesus, there's got to be some question marks as to what he can really do if he's always going to be injured every three games.
He's a player that needs to either move on or buckle down and really apply himself.
If anything, he can be the starter. He had a great tie against Bayern. The goal from Trossard comes from him. But the man is just too... He hasn't played enough. He's not consistent enough. He hasn't played consistently enough. There's gonna be a lot of reflection that is gonna be done by Arteta in the summer. I'm hoping that he does the right moves. He's done in the past, so I'm not too worried. But yeah, like I said, there's the level that Arsenal still needs to reach that we haven't reached yet. But it's gonna be interesting to see the evolution in the next few years. Because I do think that we're very close to winning the league. We're very, very close. If we don't win it this year, which doesn't seem likely, we'll win it soon. It's just a matter of doing a couple, one or two tweaks here and there. We're very close.
That's, yeah, I agree.
Real quick, though, because I know we want to wrap it up. FA Cup semis, Coventry and Coventry United. What do you got?
I mean, bro, obviously, I got United.
I gotta ask.
Do you think United don't win? It'd be devastating if we lose. To be fair, we only have one healthy center back, and it's Harry Maguire.
If you lose it, it's a fumble. You guys should win it.
It's definitely a fumble.
I think you guys should win it, but watch out for Coventry. Like, Haji Wright is a great striker right now. He's in form. US international. He could be a key factor. But I'm expecting a United win. And then City-Chelsea. Cole Palmer comes back against City. Maybe to ruin the Pep's dream of getting the FA Cup. Because that's his dream, of course. City should win it. They have to bounce back from the semis. They have to win it. And Chelsea, you never really know which team shows up, so... I think
City United final for sure.
I do think that the Chelsea United final is a better final though.
That'd be fun. Anytime City doesn't make a final, I'm happy.
Yeah, especially after the first game, the last Chelsea United game that we saw.
Yep. Oh man, don't remind me.
Yeah, I don't want to remind you.
Alright, I think that's it. If you guys made it this far, you know the drill. We're surprised, but pleasantly surprised. And we really appreciate your time, your ears, your eyes. Hope to see you. Your ears, your eyes. Yo, let me deal. But we really appreciate your time. Thanks for rocking with us. We hope to see you next time. And we got some crazy Champions League and football to watch in the future. And we're going to talk about it right here. And we hope to see you guys there. Thanks for being here. Episode 109 in the books. See you next time. Peace.
Is it 109 or 108?
So it's 109.